Good morning. Today is Friday, March the 26th. Joining us this morning, 24th? Ah, shoot, I can't even read my own writing. 24th, there we go. All right, there it is. Joining us this morning is the fella who puts the San Francisco Giants broadcasts on the air, Darren Chan. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Eureka.
There you go. All right, we have to push all the buttons here, not just 9 out of the 10.
Go.
Yeah, okay, fine. But you were able to hear me, right?
I was able to hear you say good morning to everybody.
Oh, okay.
Good morning to everybody in Eureka.
All right. The way we start this thing is I ask you a question that makes you say, you feel really stupid, and then from that point on you get a chance to make me feel stupid, okay? Reference to it is, why do we say this? Why do we say it? So I'm going to get you one that's kind of almost broadcast-oriented, so at least you have a halfway chance of getting it. You ready?
Oh, boy. Okay.
All right. Why do we say sidekick?
Why do we say sidekick? It must be something to do with if I'm doing a total realistic guess here, it's something to do with the sidecar on a motorcycle?
You know, that's almost logical, but, you know, no. The first word is pickpocket, okay? Pickpockets abounded in London and other English cities during the time of the Victorian author Charles Dickens. They anticipated modern youth gangs by forming close-knit organizations. A recruit had to go through an apprenticeship, much as if they were training for an honorable craft. Pickpockets developed their own slang vocabulary. In their speech, a prat was a hip pocket, while a pit was a breast pocket. They used jerv to mean a vest pocket and kick to designate a side pocket. Even a veteran of this special kind of crime was likely to have trouble with certain pockets. It lay close to a potential of a victim's leg and was always in constant motion, and that's why certain pockets weren't used. It became proverbial that a fellow who didn't want to lose his money would stash it in his certain pocket, and as a result, any faithful partner was always at one's side, took the name of that pocket, and that became the most resistant to pickpockets, and that reference was called the sidekick. So.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
See, the origins of this stuff is like baseball analytics. There's a whole method to how things evolve and picking out not just what pocket you're going to get picked from, but there are actually names for it.
Yeah, and then they change the size of the bases. It's like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the baseball stuff I'd like to talk about, but before we get to that, I think there's an intrigue, at least there is for a lot of folks that I'm familiar with, about the behind-the-scenes stuff, the engineering part, the setting things up, crowd mics, all those types of things that influence the broadcast, but a lot of folks just kind of go, well, how come? You know, it's like the microphone with the guy with a balloon underneath it. Squeak, 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 or somebody who's, you know, the leather lungs, I guess, was a euphemism that was used in the 50s. How do you determine some of those outside the booth sound levels and what you want and what makes a good broadcast sound like a good broadcast?
Well, I guess you could say it all comes down to the mix. And as an audio engineer, especially for baseball, you don't want just announcers only. It's like going to a baseball game, going to any sporting event, but primarily baseball. It's when you turn on your radio and you just hear the ambient sound of crowd. I think that's the warming feeling of a radio broadcast. I particularly love radio. I grew up listening to radio, sports, baseball radio, since I was 6 years old, and I fell in love with it at such a young age, because the nature of the sport lends itself to being such a beautifully fantastic descriptive sport where you can follow along in the game while doing other things. No one sits in front of their radio and stares into the radio like it was the 30s or 40s. It doesn't happen though. You're doing other things. But the beauty of baseball games is that you can follow what's going on with the action and follow the stories while you're doing other things. And you're perfectly in tune with the situation of what's happening.
Who was your announcer growing up?
What we do. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry?
Who was your announcer growing up?
Boy, I tell you what, my announcers growing up, this would have been the late 70s. So, you know, I grew up with Lindsey Nelson, the Hall of Famer, who was in the tail end of his career. He wasn't known to be a San Francisco. He was a Met. Being a San Francisco Giant. Lindsey Nelson, Hank Greenwald, David Glass were the three first announcers I grew up, and they took me from the 70s to the mid 80s until my teenage years when Ron Fairley and Wayne Hagen came over in 86. And eventually when Hank came up, and I'm fortunate to get to actually know, with the exception of Lindsey Nelson, all those announcers along the way. And that was always a thrilling thing for me, especially as a kid who grew up listening to all the games on the radio for the Giants. But back to your original question about in terms of the crowd, you know, we have two microphones that are down below, as you want to say it. They're closer to home plate. They're called affectionately in the industry as shotgun microphones. And basically these microphones pick up long distance ranges. That's the microphones that you hear that give you the pop of the glove, the crack of the bat, the umpires calling. Sometimes you'll hear conversations behind home plate, or yeah, for better or worse.
Yeah, the whoops.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-oh. And sometimes these microphones, you know, where they're placed on the road, they're not exactly right behind home plate. They can be like off center, more toward the dugout. So you'll pick up maybe a coach or a manager who's right next to one of those microphones. And boy, oh boy, you got to watch it there, because you never know what you're going to pick up there. And, you know, back in Oracle Park in San Francisco, we also have two microphones that pick up the ambient sound from the upper deck. So those things we balance those microphones from upstairs, the microphones from downstairs, and we've got the announcer microphones that pick up the sound in front of us. And it's always the funny things that you pick up from the crowd that are the most entertaining. It's
like, we'll talk about some of those things that may not make it on air when we come back. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Darren from the San Francisco Giants. Darren, as with anything else, there's a lot of timing that's involved. As you're putting together the broadcast, or you're working the broadcast itself, the fact that Major League Baseball is trying to pick up the speed and compress things and to make it less pastoral, I find reprehensible. But from your perspective, how much more challenging is it because of the pitching, the timers, and all these things that are now these new variables that are in play?
Well, it's a good question, and it definitely is something that I think everyone in the broadcast, especially baseball broadcast industry, has considered. I will tell you that the pace of the game is so much more, so far the early reviews for all of us are so much more enjoyable. The announcers have had to adapt. There's no doubt about it. The slow, leisurely pace of the game has been definitely sped up. There's no doubt about it. But I think it comes at a good cost, and it's a cost that people are willing to trade for. You know, it's interesting. You would think the ex-players, the ones that played the game years ago or decades ago, guys like Mike Kruko, Keith Hernandez, whoever, who are now part of the broadcast industry, serve as color commentators from across the country, you would think they would be hard-lined against any changes whatsoever with pace of game or time of game. And almost to a T, have been on board with this rule change because of the nature of where the game has evolved in the last 10 to 20 years, specifically probably the last 10 years, where baseball has tried to different subtle things like mound visit limits, things that have made the game tried to pick up the pace to where it was back in, say, the 80s, where games were where 3-hour games were more of the exception, more than the norm.
Yeah,
and
two,
I think it's good because I.
A 245 was not extraordinary, but what's really weird is when you go back to the turn of the century, the 1900s to there it was not that abnormal to have games that were an hour and 50 minutes, but it was a different game at that point, and it wasn't as universally followed. And I fear that it's a fundamentally different game. At that point, the strategy is different. You know, not allowing the guys to overshift or to play deep. I mean, all of that stuff starts to change. It's kind of like when they change the baseball. All of a sudden, you get a whole bunch more home runs. Okay, it's a different game.
Well, what I think these rule changes have done, they will do, is that they are going to create a lot more action on the bases. One of the big things that baseball has been trying to get is the stolen bases back as part of the game. It has devolved over the years as something where a stolen base leader will be now in the 40s. It's more exciting when you had guys like Ricky Henderson or Lou Brock, guys that could steal over 100 bases in a season. It's just that much more exciting baseball. Hence why maybe we have the bigger bases, while we are now preventing the shift because now shortstops and second basemen will play at double play depth. We're going to get more offense because of that. We're going to get more running from first to third. Just more action on the field. I think that's baseball's primary goal here, is to get things back to where they were, because the players were changing things, where they were slowing down, where they were stepping out of the box so much, where they were stepping off the rubber. More meetings, guys coming in from short to talk to the pitcher. Baseball's hand has been forced. I'm completely on board with this. A lot of the announcers are, and back to, you know, talking about the original question real quick about how we've had to adapt, you know, our liners, our commercial liners, our promotions, they're going to have to be more succinct. Storytelling is going to be told over a series of much more pitches than they were in the past. These are all changes that we, you know, had to adapt through spring training, and I think it's still going to be a process as the early season progresses.
I guess I'm a little simplistic in my thought. You want to steal more bases, you get guys that can run faster rather than swing harder. Billy ball, so to speak. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's more, because I think it's the whole home run versus the strikeout. You know, feast or famine attitude. I think that's fine and dandy when it sits a home run, but when strikeouts are up year over year, it's just people don't want to necessarily see strikeouts all the time. These guys, you know, they want action on the bases.
So if that was the goal, why not lower the mound back down where it was before Gibson had his year in 68?
Well, they could go, hey, you never know what could come down the line. I tell you what. But baseball made so many wholesale changes this year.
Yeah.
And I think it's better that they did it this way rather than do it rolling one rule change after another, because after a while, if you did this over a course of 6 years, people would be like, oh, here comes another one.
Yeah,
here comes
the fatigue.
Another change. Yeah. When are they going to stop?
What do you think about the guy at second base to start extra innings?
As a guy who has sat through so many 18-inning games in my life, I'm kind of indifferent on it. I'm okay with it. I'm not particularly, like, if they went back to the old system, I'd be okay with it too because of the changes. I can understand why people are upset by it, but I don't understand people who are saying, like, this is the most great drama about, you know, we should be playing into the 13th or 14th, so be it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. As a guy who has sat through more 18-inning games than I can count, if it was so great, the fans wouldn't dwindle down to the 500s. By the time the teens were, the innings were coming along.
Well, so, now remember,
I'm okay with it.
You're at the ballpark where you have food. I got board ops sitting here that are just getting hungry. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Stand by playback.
And now,
live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep
forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Darren Chen from the San Francisco Giants. He's the guy referred to as D.C. He has nothing to do with Washington, right? Good. Okay.
Thankfully.
Yeah. The pace of the game and everything is one element. The technical side is something else. But I'm sure you most questions that people will have of you, D.C., is – what are the guys like?
Oh, yeah. That's a good question.
Well, and there's that. There's the mystique about radio that I'm understanding even more today than I did yesterday. But there's also the fact that these guys are, they're in that emotional thing where this is my team. These are part of my guys. They're the constant that's there. They're my eyes and ears, and they're describing what's going on and painting that. Well, like Scully says, or said, you start with a blank canvas, and these guys are painting the picture, the artist element of it. So talk about the guys in the booth, not the booth itself, but the guys in the booth. What do you tell folks about John and Dave and the guys?
Well, I will tell you this. They are an absolute pleasure and to work with from a personal and a professional level. John Miller, the Hall of Famer, is every bit of as great as an announcer as I have ever worked with. What I love about John is that he's got a fantastic sense of humor, and he's even better off air than it is on air, if I could say that. And he's got a great on air sense of humor too. But he's absolutely classic, and I love John because he's also a student of radio and broadcasting.
He's a radio geek.
Oh, he loves talking about the old time announcers and the radio. You know, he grew up in the Bay Area. He grew up in Hayward, and he grew up listening to Russ Hodges and Lon Simmons. And you got John to talk about Lon and Russ, you could probably do a 6-hour show with him on that topic alone.
Very cool.
It's great. Dave is as versatile. Dave Fleming is as versatile and as solid as an announcer as I have ever worked with. He's to me, there's an old term that he's a pro's pro, and I think that accurately describes Dave. He is so on board, in tune with what's happening in the game to relate the conversation, make it sound natural. He plays off conversation with John so well. Great guy off the air, as both guys are. You know, it's interesting. For the next 6 to 7 months, baseball season starts. Through the end of the season, we will spend more time together than we will with our own families.
Sure.
It's kind of a, whether it's a sad reality or you want to just call it a reality, and that's what it really is. We're going to be on the road. We're going to be on planes. We're going to be on buses. We're going to be eating dinner with each other every night. These are things that people kind of forget that, you know, you guys are coming and going, but we'll spend so much time together. So it's very important to be able to get along in the booth and to like each other. And I will tell you, without not naming names, thankfully I've never had this happen in my broadcast career with being in baseball and Major League Baseball radio booths. But there are teams of announcers and producers who haven't gotten along, where announcers won't talk to each other off the air if the mics are not on.
Well, yeah, there's a couple well-known stories in Chicago, I think Minnesota, historically, I mean, not the current folks, where you show up and the other guy leaves, and then you leave and he backfills in, and that's there's not a team. There's a broadcaster and another broadcaster. Red Barber talked about preparation, and he was a huge stickler. Ernie Harwell, Vin Scully, those guys learned from read how to do it. But if you just showed up kind of like Mel Allen did or Dizzy Dean, that was nothing that was really it was not a positive experience. Either you learned or you moved on. How much prep do the guys do, or is their approach much more just kind of intrinsic because they've been around it for so long?
There's a lot of preparation. I mean, obviously, you're going to have a lot of background knowledge just in the back of your head with what's the day-to-day doings of the team and just general things around baseball. But, you know, one of the big things that our guys like to do is they like to chat with not only the players and the managers down during batting practice, but they like to also pick the brains of fellow broadcasters behind the scenes. So you could be, whether it's over dinner or just coming into the booth 45 minutes before first pitch, they'll come in and they'll say, yeah, so tell me about Paul Gold, you know, what's Goldschmidt in a slump right now? What's the deal? And the you know, maybe the team, the announcers from St. Louis would say, like, well, he's struggling right now with a curveball. He's got a, you know, he's also been dealing with a hamstring issue, you know, something like that. So you're doing kind of your inside recognizance with the other announcers. That lends itself to going, you know, getting information as much as you can so you can relay that information. No, in a situation where maybe Paul Goldschmidt didn't round second and go to third on a hit to right field because maybe he does have a hamstring issue. So those are the kind of things that are part of the homework process. And, of course, you have just sheets and sheets and packets of information with every statistical
right.
category using every letter of the alphabet. And you can sit there and highlight all day. But when it comes down to it, it's ultimately the play calling and just the general knowledge that the guys have.
Yeah, I would imagine that there is a club called Major League Broadcasting, because it's not as if let's use the St. Louis guys. It's not like you're in competition with them. They're not going to be.
Right.
You're not going to tune into in the old days KMOX to listen to Jack Buck because you're listening to your guys with your station. But it makes
right.
a more robust broadcast, I guess, is kind of the simplest.
It
way.
Does.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Brian.
No, I was going to take a break, but you know, finish your thought there. Cause,
oh, okay. Well, I mean, I think it's fun to see, you know, we listen to satellite radio like after a game or something like that, or I'm pulling highlights from other games, and it's always fun to listen to the announcers from around the league. We like to implement those guys in our broadcast. So, you know, it really is a club in a sense. Everyone kind of knows each other.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocery. Your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Darren Chin from San Francisco Giants. Darren, the concept of radio, I think I've had too many references, obviously growing up, but also, you know, with us being in this industry, that radio, baseball was made for radio. And that's it. You know, the pictures, sometimes the real pictures kind of screw things up, because you don't get to see everything and you're not bringing everything together. How cool is it to be in the radio booth dealing with radio folks, either your team or the visitors team, and bringing all this stuff together and really presenting this mosaic of what baseball is all about?
Yeah, it really is a special kind of fraternity, and it is a family, because, you know, once you see a team, whether we go to San Diego or whether the Padres come to San Francisco, it's always fun seeing friends for a couple of days and catching up and telling jokes and old stories. And then they shuffle out, or we shuffle out. We go to the next city and we see the next set of announcers and producers. And we share, you know, stories with them. It really is cool. It that is part of the behind the scenes fun that I wish more people could have in their own professional lives. So in that regards, it's a very unique industry, and it's a lot of fun. And And you got to remember now, this industry lends itself to some of the greatest storytellers in the world. So sometimes you're just a fly on the wall listening when a guy like, the retired Marty Brenneman comes in and he and John are telling stories and they're telling old stories about Harry Carey or something like that. Or like, this is what you should have heard what Jack Brickhouse said in the 75 season in a game there or something like that. It's just kind of fun to hear those and share modern stories as well.
I got a question for you. We have these things that are unscheduled called rain delays, and there are so many different choices with rain delays. But I remember, and I don't know if this was when KSFO was doing the Giants, when KMBR in the late 70s was doing the Giants, if it was when KSFO was doing the A's, but there's something in my mind that says when they went to rain delay, that was a chance for the announcers then to be announcers and to talk about what was and to have fun. I can remember John Miller doing impersonations of PA announcers.
Oh, yeah.
For extended periods of time and sharing stories, that kind of stuff. Why has that gone away rather than throwing it back to the local station to do whatever it is that the local station does? Is that just something that is moved into history now?
Yeah, some broadcasts do keep it in the booth. I think part of it is also fatigue in terms of some of these rain delays can be. And I've sat through some 3.5-hour rain delays.
Oh, sure. The super extended ones.
There's ones. We regularly do updates every 15 minutes with all the affiliates and all the stations along the network just to keep them appraised of what's going on. But, boy, I tell you what, when you're in a 3.5-hour rain delay or 2 hours or whatever it is, it's funny because once we go off the air, everyone is asking each other, hey, what's the latest you've heard? What are you hearing? And it's just like, it's almost like the old adage of the blind leading the blind because nobody knows any answers, but everyone thinks they know the right person who can give you the answers, but nobody knows.
Right, or looking at their cell phones.
Yeah. I mean, I've been part of a baseball game. Oh, yeah, we'll talk about Dwayne Kuiper and his 10 weather apps that he likes to look at. and he'll probably tell you which 10 they are, too. But, we've had times where we've kept it in the booth for extended periods of time. But after a while, they do. It's better for stations probably to take it back and give the announcers a break to rather than churning for about 35 minutes without a break to move things along. So I've been a part of broadcasts where we've taken phone calls during rain delays.
That flexibility and the personal touch I think is another element that makes us so special, for people.
It definitely is different.
We ain't TV, and I don't think we ever want to be.
No. We are the radio. Yeah.
I think that's probably a positive thing to end it with, huh?
Absolutely.
We go really off the rail there and have some serious problems like FCC reporting. All right, so we got a ball game tomorrow, right? And then, then the Bay Bridge series.
We're finishing up spring training and the Bay Bridge series. The team breaks camp in Arizona tomorrow, Saturday, and then play in Oakland on Sunday afternoon, Monday night, back in San Francisco, and then we take off for New York to face the Yankees. We leave on Tuesday, have a workout day on Wednesday at the Bronx, and it's day baseball, opening day from New York.
Yeah, one
on
game.
Thursday.
One game. Yeehaw.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I know we're up against the clock here, but they have a built-in weather day.
Yeah.
So we're off on Friday just in case it snows on Thursday.
Yeah. Well, that's what you got to see is what their snow unis look like. Hey, bud, thanks for coming by. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian. Anytime.
All right. Thanks, DC. See everybody on Monday.